For those of you who are new here today, I'm Pastor Eric. Usually, I'm the one that is introducing everyone, and then I'll take the kids out, and sometimes you don't get to see me, but I'm really happy to be here today and to share God's word with you. Have you ever been scared to stand up for something or for someone? I mean, really scared. Maybe for your life or for your well-being. There was this one time I was scared to stand up for my friend. He had done something that wasn't nice to this girl at school, something that I would never do. And I felt, though, I had to stand up for him because he was my friend. I cared for him. We grew up together. He lived down the street from me. We shared many great memories together. What happened next was like out of a movie. It just didn't seem real. The big brother, I mean, the big brother of this girl, he pulled up in his gangster-looking lowrider. You know those cars that are slammed to the ground? It looks like they're going to hit a speed bump. Yeah. Gangster-looking lowrider. I was thinking, this might not end well for me and my friend. I wanted to run inside. I wanted to hide. But I couldn't. I was frozen in fear. He got out. All 6'5" of him. He looked at me and he said, "Eric, I'll use John for my friend's sake, okay? Because I didn't call him up and ask him, can I use your name?" So he said, "Eric, where's John?" I was scared and I didn't know what to say. "Eric, I know that John is at your house. Tell him to come out and face me like a man." Now, this big brother dude, he just wasn't tall and strong. He trained in boxing and some sort of martial art. I was scared because I knew he would kick my butt. The feeling I had going through my body might have been similar to that of the disciples. It was evening, and a little company sat watching anxiously within locked doors. They were scared on all sorts of levels. They were scared of the Jewish leaders, and probably they were losing their minds. Who did they see that morning? And now it was evening. And their hopes and perhaps it dwindled within the setting sun. When suddenly, silently, without a sound of footsteps or a warning of an open door, there he was. Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. What an astonishing event. Here in the midst of the disciples is Jesus, the one who they had put their hope in and believed he would bring God's kingdom. The disciples had locked the doors for fear of the Jewish leaders. Yet they were waiting on someone they thought was gone. Unexpectedly, Jesus stands in their midst. They are not afraid anymore. If anything, it must have been a great comfort to the disciples to see, to feel, and to hear Jesus. Right off the bat, Jesus assures them who he really is. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. What was Jesus saying? What did he mean by the Father has sent me and I am sending you? Could it be that Jesus is claiming who he is when he says the Father and I? Is he saying that he is God? To say this would be a big deal. This claim can be understood two ways. One is that he is the incarnated God. And the other is that he is being an incredible blasphemer. A blasphemer is someone who is basically disrespectful to God. They would have no respect for who God is and stands for. They would slander his name, making jokes, or showing disregard to anything associated with it. Could this be Jesus? Joking about God? For anyone making this claim, it would be considered blasphemy. Unless you are God. It is in such hints, if I can call it that, we see Christ's deity. He is God. No one can come back from the dead the way Jesus did, but only one. Jesus is God, standing amongst them. To make this event even more revolutionary, Jesus includes the disciples with himself. He sends them as he himself was sent. What Jesus declares to his disciples, he expressively declares to God the Father, in that they are sent by Christ, as Christ was sent by God. What was placed upon them was also placed upon Christ, that being God's mission to redeem all people. What came next would have been a sight. And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When I picture this breathing on them, I cannot help think how strange it would be. I mean, Jesus had just been risen from the dead. Now he's breathing on his disciples. Breath mint, please. Yet, his breathing on them and giving them he's giving them his Holy Spirit. What power! The Spirit of Christ is being given to them. What authority! They would no longer have to live in fear. When I associate the giving of the Holy Spirit, I actually don't think of this event. I actually think of Pentecost. So why would Jesus give them the Holy Spirit here and then again at Pentecost? Two times? one possible reason for his spirit being placed upon them at that moment was more like his assurance. Jesus wanted to assure his disciples. He wanted to give them confidence that they were receiving the promise he had made with them. The following statement in verses 23 links the promise with his authority. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. At first glance, this statement, it seems puzzling. Who has the right to forgive sins? Man or God? If I am a sinner, and if you are one too, as St. Peter says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What right do we have to forgive sins if we are sinners ourselves? How come we can easily forgive a person who hurts us, but not someone who commits a terrible crime? Oh, no, we can't forgive that. But in many ways, we can. But it still has a tone of mystery to it. In light of what Jesus says, I think it's more, again, that insurance to his disciples, that they are to build upon Christ's teachings and ministry. In a nutshell, this is what the Spirit led the disciples to do. After Pentecost, the disciples walked with no fear of death. They were like new people, born again with fire, with an authority that brought people to their knees, all in Jesus' name. This excites me. It stirs within me. Why? Because we have been given the same authority. We have been given the same Spirit that confesses Jesus is Lord. The uprising of authority is not to overthrow governments, bosses, and other people. The uprising of authority is more having to do with the acknowledgement of the one who has authority over all creation. So I ask this question: by what authority are you doing these things? By what authority are you doing these things? Things being how you live your life, to how you serve God. Are you doing it for your own interests? Are you doing it for the goodwill of mankind? Are you doing it because someone told you to? Or are you doing it for God? To help us answer this question, by what authority are you doing these things? We must look to Jesus. When Jesus demonstrated his authority, it wasn't always well received. Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, they all tell us of occasions when the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders asked Jesus, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority? On most occasions, Jesus, he didn't answer their questions directly because of the hardness of their hearts. But on other occasions, Jesus addressed the issue. John 7:16, Jesus answers, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me." John 12:49, "For I did not speak on my own, but on the Father who sent me." who commanded me to say all that I have spoken. John 14:24. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Jesus shows us with these words that he himself was acting under the authority of God the Father. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus' authority was broadened. As he gives the apostles the charge to teach to all nations, he begins with the words, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." This coming from the Great Commission. This tells us that God the Father gave to Jesus the right to command all the universe. Do you know how big the universe is? It's big. Really, really big. It's way beyond our imagination. Like, it's just huge. Our planet is this teeny tiny little thing, almost like this marble, in this room. In that, if this marble represents Earth, the Milky Way galaxy, which is where we are situated in, well, that would stretch out beyond our planet and beyond our solar system. And that's just our galaxy. If you were to look at the universe, which we can't, in its full infinite space, there's probably more galaxies than there are all the grains of sand upon this planet. I cannot picture how big that is, but it is big. With that in mind, Jesus has been given that authority over the universe. And we are to submit ourselves to this authority. This is our understanding of Jesus' authority. It's over all things created. And we are to obey and to submit ourselves to his authority. In the Old Testament, God promises that he will establish his kingdom through the Messiah, and that he will be given authority over all things. Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise. That same promise is passed on to his disciples. For example, Jesus encourages his disciples by saying, "But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Matthew 10:19-20. This would have been shocking to me to hear Jesus say, "When you are arrested..." Who? Who would say that? "When you are arrested..." Why would anyone want to follow Jesus if he told you that you would be arrested? And for what? Because you're speaking the message about Jesus? The people who reject the message that the apostles preach, Jesus taught that it was the same as rejecting him, and that they were also rejecting God the Father. Luke tells it like this: "Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." Luke 10:16. When the apostles went out to preach, they acknowledged the divine authority and held themselves under to such authority. All the apostles faced similar persecutions as Christ did, and they never backed down. Would you back down? Not them. Not Peter. He was not one to back down. Until he was asked, Are you one of those Jesus followers? Oh, no, I don't know that man. But later, that changed because of the power and authority given to him. His first sermon, which he preached, he encouraged the Jews on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Sounds similar to John the Baptist's message. Was he full of the Spirit? The apostles fully knew the authority of God was given to them by the Holy Spirit. It wasn't Peter or John saying, "In my name." No. They recognize that this authority was from God, not from them. With that, they were able to face great trials and persecution. Paul wrote to the Christians living in Colossus, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Colossians 3:17. The apostles lived a life in total reverence to the mission of God. They didn't back down. They didn't say or do things for their own self-interest. The apostles, full of the Holy Spirit, lived for Jesus. For it is by the authority of Jesus they were doing these things. By what authority are you doing these things? How are we to live by the authority of Jesus? We have the written teachings of Jesus. Whether we look at the gospel accounts of Jesus' words or the letters written by the apostles, we have before us the teachings of Jesus. Is there not a way we can submit ourselves to these teachings? Is there not a way we can live out Christ's authority in our own lives? Going back to my story, I was basically face to face with this giant boxer dude. Remember, he wanted me to give up my friend. I looked at him and said with great affliction, "No, if you want a piece of him, you'll have to get by me." I wasn't thinking. I didn't know how to fight. All of those silly Jackie Chan movies, I think they got into my brain somehow and made me this kung fu guy, but I wasn't. He looked at me and said, "Are you serious?" I couldn't back down. I just put myself out there in sheer hope that he would leave. "Go away, go away." He walked up to me and he said, "Take the first swing. Let's see what you've got." If I could discover that I had a superpower, that would have been the time. Instead, I swung at him and completely missed. He came back with a 1-2 combo, sending me flat down onto the ground. I was out, dazed and humiliated. You know, my friend that I was protecting, he took off. In fact, he didn't say anything until the next day at school. And on the other hand, I had a black eye and a fat lip. And he got off scot-free. Not fair. The funny thing about this story is the amount of respect I received. People came up to me in the hallways at school and said all kinds of nice comments, like, "You're such a great friend, Eric, sticking up for him like that." If only they knew what really happened. But I had made a stand. I had made a stand. I didn't back down. And people respected that. Do you think Jesus backed down from God's mission? No. He became it when he took it upon himself on the cross. Do you think the apostles backed down from God's mission? No. They lived it out. They preached the good news of Jesus Christ, even when they were in prison. Do you think we should back down from God's mission? No. By what authority are you doing these things? It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, Father, I thank you for your word and for your Holy Spirit, for breathing life into our lives, for allowing us to join you in your mission of redemption. I pray that you would go forward in our walks with you as one with authority, that we would not be afraid to back down, but to make a stand for your glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.